Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Mac Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Mac Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D-Factor. The Mac Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Mac.
I've got the power! Hey, yeah.
Good afternoon, Phoenix. The beautiful Vanessa Williams and the terrific Bobby Caldwell easing us into the Christmas season. Hey, gang. Welcome to the Power Hour. I'm Mac Newton. In the studio with me today is, of course, the fabulous Natasha. Let's give her a hand here. The fabulous Natasha is in the house.
Hello, everyone.
How's it going, baby?
Pretty good.
How's the weather out there?
Oh, it's raining, but still everyone's going crazy last minute Christmas shopping.
Oh, baby, it's cold outside. You better stay in here with us.
Yes, it's much nicer in the studio.
And, of course, the one and only Eric Slayline. How's it going, my man?
Not bad. How are you, sir?
Not bad. I'm doing fabulous. Brother, good to see you in the house.
Right back at you.
Okay. Welcome aboard, everybody. It's Thursday. Well, not as sunny as it normally is in beautiful downtown Phoenix, but you know what? That's kind of nice, too. A different change. Kind of makes us feel that we're definitely in the Christmas season. Thursday, December 18th. It is now 3 minutes past the hour. Wherever you may be on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, sitting in with the Mac Daddy, of course, the fabulous Natasha, and Eric making everything happen with the Power Hour, which is something we do every Thursday at 5 o'clock. And according to the emails that are really starting to pick up, you guys are liking this show. However, you're not liking it as much as we're liking bringing it to you. We're listening to a little bit of a Christmas-type song, more of a winter song with Bobby Caldwell, Vanessa Williams. Baby, it's cold outside. Bobby Caldwell, one of my favorite musicians who plays everything, drums, horns, guitar, piano, you name it. And Vanessa Williams, well, she doesn't have to play anything. Just sit there and let me look at her. Oh, my. I hope everyone's got their Christmas shopping at least started, you know. I know in my class, we joke around a lot of times because the guys, they're going to find themselves in Walgreens, on Christmas Eve at about 6 o'clock in the evening trying to find the latest clapper or the upgraded version of the Chia Pet. I heard they got a real big one coming out this year you can put out in the backyard. Most ladies got their Christmas shopping already done. How about you, Natasha?
I'm done.
You're done?
I'm finished.
Finished?
Yes. I started like November 1st, probably.
Really? And you're all done now?
I'm all done.
That's it.
I'm good.
I'm not telling. The Christmas tree is up. You know, the eggnog is chilling. We're deep into the Christmas holiday right now. We have a great show on tap for you guys today. At least we think so. Our lineup is, we got a nice monologue. I call it falling in love with the work. And of course, we're going to get started, as we promised last week, or pick up where we got started at, you know, the 15 steps to the new you. In other words, how to make a quantum leap going into the new year. Going into 2009, don't you want to hit it running? Hit the ground at top speed. How to go from the old you to the new you. I mean, how many of you really want to go into the new year the same as you were last year? Don't you want to change? Don't you want to change for the better? Well, we're going to discuss some ways in which you can do exactly that. But of course, at this point in the show, every week, we always get into the shout outs. It seems we got an email from a news listener who's an old listener. You know, Peter and Bevzilla DeFalco right here in Phoenix. Well, actually, I think they live in Mesa, but we consider everything. I mean, Phoenix, we just count it all. I mean, we live in Paradise Valley, but that's when someone said, where you're from? I said, Phoenix, Arizona. You know, so we count it all. We take everything. Tempe, Glendale, you know, we take it all. Phoenix. And I'll shout Ray out there in SoCal, and Albert from South Florida, Mark and Kim right here in Phoenix, and of course Nick and all the guys up in Denver and Chicago and points beyond. Our listenership is growing every week. We get emails from all around the world. If you want to give me a shout, send it to 7, S-E-V-E-N, @macnewton.com, and I will get it. I don't always answer, but if you make it compelling enough, I will respond to you. Or if your point is relevant about a topic that we're discussing on the Power Hour, maybe we'll even share your email with the other listeners. That's 7, @macnewton.com. There's a possibility, depending upon our time frame, we may have a little bit more 3-2 information for you today. That's our eating plan, which a couple of you mentioned that you really enjoyed getting that information. Emails are coming in on the stuff that we're giving out already, Natasha, about the 3-2. That 3-2 works for you, doesn't it?
It does. I think it works for everyone. Mm-hmm. What could be better? You can eat as much as you want and lose weight. Still losing weight.
You know, it's you know, and that's how a lot of people think too. And it's great. You're losing weight, but my thinking is you're getting healthy. It's not just what the scale says, but sometimes that's an indicator that you're heading in the right direction. And she's right. I mean, you can eat as much as you want. You can't eat too much on the 3-2 eating plan. Eat as much as you want and still lose weight. Where's the bad news? So we're going to talk more about the 3-2 hopefully later in our show, and if not, we'll certainly pick it up again next week. But our main topic today, after we finish the monologue, is 15 steps to a new you, and how timely is that at this time of the year? Okay, I remember when I returned from Vietnam, and this is going back some time, folks. This is, 2008, and I came back from Vietnam. I think it was in 1972. I had to restart my martial arts training. I don't know if you knew this, Eric, but I started training when I was 9 years old in karate first, right here in America. I just was walking down the street in Inglewood, California, and I was small for my age with a thick accent, and I wanted to, I wanted to keep people off of me. So I saw the first Oriental. I was into stereotypes, I guess, like a lot of other people. And I saw this Oriental dude walking down the sidewalk, and he looked strong and healthy. And I walked up to him. I said, "Hey, can you teach me karate?" And just so happened, he did run a little karate studio in his garage. It was on a dirt floor with little straw mats over the dirt floor. And that's how I started. And I trained with him for a little over 2 years. I became a second degree black belt there. But anyway, I'd already started my martial arts training in karate, but when I got back from Vietnam, I had met the grandmaster, Park Jung-tae, demonstrating Taekwondo and also talking about the philosophy and the character that's necessary. And I decided to start training in Taekwondo, but I had to start over as an adult. It was difficult. Not only was I recovering at the time from the injuries that I had received in Vietnam, but I kept focusing back to my old karate training. People who listen to me say this today don't always believe it, but at that time in my life, I didn't really like to work as hard as was really necessary to train in Taekwondo. My instructor in the training hall had a little, I'll call it a warm-up pen, for lack of a better term, a little area that if you showed up late, you would have to step into that and kind of stretch and kind of get ready for class. So I would always arrive late. So I would go into this little, I'd change into my uniform and I'd go into the warm-up pen. And then when he was ready, he'd bring you into the class. So I was late on purpose because I wanted to avoid the exercise portion of the class altogether. I didn't want to do it. I just wanted to go there and free spar and kick and punch and have fun, kick the bag and do stuff that was fun. I didn't see the exercises as important. Well, there was a young Korean man in the class who we became friends, and he was roughly my age, but he had spent many years in Korea training exclusively in Taekwondo. And I was often in trouble with my instructor for my frequent lateness and other bad habits, and my young friend asked me why I was having so many problems. I told him, I don't really like the exercise. I don't think I'll ever like them. He says, well, why are you training here? I said, well, I want to get my black belt. I love Taekwondo. I just don't want to do the exercises. He says, this is going to be very difficult for you to train, especially over a long period of time. When you're only focused on the results of gaining, you know, the results that you get or getting becoming a good kicker or puncher or just getting rank, you need to fall in love with the work. You need to fall in love with the practice, he says. He said, I don't worry so much about getting better in Taekwondo. I just love the practice. I love being in line and doing the kicks and punches. I just love doing the work. I thought, oh, what planet are you living on? And I can relate to that. You got to love doing push-ups, love stretching, love doing crunches. I didn't get it. So it took, and he was right. I was going to have difficulty, and I did. It took a while, but I finally began to understand what he told me, because my instructor was relentless. He just kept sending me over to the knuckles on concrete blocks doing knuckle push-ups. So anyway, soon as I started falling in love with the, you know, the practice itself, you know, with the stretching and the push-ups and all that stuff, the kicking, the punching, doing the patterns, I started looking forward to going to class. And I even started looking forward to the pre-class workout, because I found one strange thing about it. It made me stronger. When I start to fall in love with the work, the progress seemed to take care of itself. When I became caught up with the work, I mean the sweat and just the hard work, I quit worrying about promotion tests. I quit worrying about when the next tournament was going to be. I wasn't worrying about the results, and they just seemed to come to me faster. Now, as I look back on, gosh, 40 plus years of training in the martial arts, I realized that it would be impossible for me to still have the enthusiasm I have today, or the same commitment that I have today, the same creativity, the desire, even the enjoyment that I have today, without having fallen in love with the work rather than just with what the work produced. You got to fall in love with the work, people. The workout, or any kind of work, is just exponentially harder for people who are only in love with the results or the prize. It seems that, you know, I see many examples of this in life. If a competitor in the Olympics is in love with the idea of getting a gold medal or just finishing a particular race, they have nothing left to go on when they've accomplished that goal. Some athletes, once they finish their goal, say, I'm never setting foot in another swimming pool again, or I'm never running one more lap around that track. I'm fed up. I'm done with it. I mean, it's like they didn't fall in love with the work. They were only in love with what the work produced. And so when they got that, there was nothing else left to sustain them. A similar example is when a person wants to lose weight or get healthy. If you're in love with the look you want to achieve, or a number that pops back at you from the scale, but not the work itself, you're going to be stressed and you're going to be burdened by the struggles, just the day-to-day struggles that it takes to achieve your goal. How much weight have I lost today? How much weight have I lost this week? How would I look in my clothes? Why can't I do this stretch? I'm not getting strong enough fast. But when you're in love with the work itself, you feel pleasure and joy just from the smell of the workout studio. The interaction in the class with other people, the sweat running down your face, the feel of your muscles under tension when you're stretching, and you love the heat in the room. The whole process becomes a thrill for you, and you look forward to it when you're not in it. You know what another thing happens? When you fall in love with the work, time flies. Time flies when you're in love with the work. It seems like you lose more weight, and you get stronger, and you get healthier faster. It seems to happen so quickly that you look back on it and you say, where'd time go? You know why? Because you're not focused on the prize. You're just in love with the work. It's also very useful to think and visualize your goal. There's no doubt about that. To imagine how it's going to feel when you get it. When you're in love with the work, though, you can still use this mountaintop thinking, I call it, by using your mind to project forward and see what you'll be like when you reach your goal. But by falling in love with the work, you can also remain in the moment. You can remain in the now, the present time. Falling in love with the work, it seems to empower you to continue over a long period of time and not get burned out. Time flies when you're not thinking about the results. You're thinking about the process. Instead of staring at the clock, you'll be amazed to notice that class is already over. You ever notice you're in a class, sometimes you got a bunch of people who are staring at the clock? Class seems to just go on and on for them. It's kind of like when you're in high school. You're looking at the clock, you know, and you're looking at the clock, and it just gets, slows down, and you can hear it going, seems to take forever. But when you're in love with the work, you know, I don't know about you, Eric, if you ever sat down to play piano at night and you want to play for half an hour or so. I know I've done the same thing with guitar. And you look up at your clock and what, 2 or 3 hours have gone by. Have you ever had that happen to you?
Yeah, many times.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know why? Because you're in love with the work, right, man. You know, you're in love with what you're doing and time just flies. And you look up and you wonder, where'd it go? You know,
I'm really hungry.
Exactly. You know, but that's exactly the point. And so that kind of attitude allows you to train over a long period of time and not get burned out. Instead of staring at the clock, you'll be amazed to know that the class is already done. It's very similar to what athletes and musicians and artists refer to as a state of flow. When you become so absorbed in what you're doing, you become so absorbed in the process that time just ceases to exist. Many goals can only be achieved over a long period of time, especially things like playing a musical instrument if you want to play it at a high level, or becoming a great writer or a poet. You need a lot of experience, or a great artist or a singer. It's going to take a long period of time, it's going to seem like it takes forever if you don't fall in love with the work. Without that love, without that passion, your motivation can falter if the process gets difficult, and it will, or you stumble over an obstacle, and you will. When I was learning to love the work during my early Taekwondo days, I used the same affirmations and self-talk that I use to get better at anything else today. I used to say to myself, I love push-ups. I love push-ups. I love being in this class. I love to see the sweat fall off of my nose down onto the floor. I love to see the sweat just make a little puddle. And I used to become proud of that puddle. I used to think, boy, I could make the biggest puddle in the class. The sweat would just plop, plop, plop. I was proud of that. You know, I'm falling in love with the work. You know, I love being in this class. I love doing all these things that make me great. It becomes a self-generating process. The quicker and stronger I become, the faster I become quick and powerful. You know, Natasha, I've talked to a lot of people over the years that put off their pleasure, and they put off their love for future wins. You know, when I get married, when I lose 50 pounds, when I get a raise, you know, all those little wins. Everything will be perfect when. And then I can enjoy myself. But every time we get to one of those little stations in life, we discover that it's not all we thought it would be. Not in and of itself. It's the work that brought you there. Treasure the journey itself. Fall in love with the work. I tell people all the time when they say, what is it like being a black belt, you know, having all that skill? You know what? It's not the black belt. It's what I learned at white belt and yellow belt and green belt and blue belt and red belt and all those things that give meaning to the black belt. I can buy a black belt down at Karate Mart for $15. You know, it doesn't really take very much. It won't mean anything. It's what I bring to the black belt. It's the journey itself. It's me falling in love with the work, the day-to-day process of life. And don't spend time worrying about the destination. Don't worry about it. If you fall in love with your work, you'll find not only fewer bumps in the road, but that more good things seem to happen faster in your life. When you reach your goals, you'll briefly look back and think, how did that happen so fast? Hey gang, this is Mac Newton and you're listening to The Power Hour. It is now 18 minutes past the hour, a beautiful Thursday afternoon. Eric, tell me, don't you like taking a little break from all the relentless sunshine?
Oh yeah, I love it.
Don't you? How about you, Natasha? You like that?
No, I don't.
You don't?
Not at all. I don't like rain.
You just want to be sunny every day, huh?
Every day.
Every day. Well, you know, you get your wish. It's like 300 days a year over that here in Phoenix. Like 330 days a year, it's sunny.
That's why I love Phoenix.
But don't you like even once in a while get a few raindrops in a while?
Sometimes maybe when I'm with my honey at home.
Oh, That's sweet.
And we can have fireplace, you know, that feels good. But during the day when you got lots of stuff to do, it's not working well.
You always like that sunshine. Well, you're living in the right place. But I feel you, Eric. I know it's a little different. You know, you look out there and you just get a little character in the sky. You know, you get some cloud formations and stuff, you know. But you know what? I tell you something, Eric. I remember one day in Chicago, it was cloudy for 19 straight days. I thought I was going to lose my mind.
Yeah. that'd be not fun.
Don't lose my mind. Like, that's why the suicide rate in Seattle is so high. Relax, all you folks up there in Seattle. Just relax. Things are going to get better. Don't worry about a thing. Okay. All right, gang. This is the Power Hour, and I'm Mac Newton. And listen, I want to ask you a personal favor. I mentioned last week, I want you guys to tell your friends. I really do. If you like the Power Hour, if you like things we're talking about and it makes you feel better, don't you think your friends would like it too? So why don't you do me a favor? Do the Mac Daddy a favor and tell a friend this week to tune in to, you know, to MacNewton.com and click on the Power Hour icon. You can listen live on Thursdays at 5, and it's uploaded right away, and you can just tune in at your leisure and listen to the Power Hour and become a regular listener. So tell a friend, get someone else involved so that we can continue to grow and that we can continue to impact as many people as possible. I love doing it because I love listening to myself talk about these things. It gets me all excited. But at the same time, I want to expose more people to their possibilities and allow them to grow. So do me a personal favor to the Mac Daddy, okay? Go out and tell a friend. Each one of you tell a friend, we will double our listenership in a week. Listen, if you like that, Falling in Love with the Work, it is on our website right now as we speak, MacNewton.com. And the title is Falling in Love with the Work. You just click on MacNewton on, and you will be able to download it, send it to a friend, or put it up on your refrigerator, put it in your car. Somebody just remind you of an attitude that you want to have. All right, we're getting close to our main topic, 15 Steps to a New You. I want to set it up a little bit differently, though, Eric, because, you know, I want to see if people can relate to a feeling. Probably the most, well, throughout my life, especially in my early adult life and into my early 30s, it seems I didn't just make mistakes. I made the same mistake over and over. I found myself in the same rut, the same hold. I didn't always want to do that, but I just seemed to make the same mistake. I just didn't know how to stop. It seemed to make sense what I was doing, and so I just kept reinvesting more energy in doing the same old things, but it wasn't working. I didn't know how to change it. I didn't know how to do anything differently. I think that's really why I entitled my second book, The D-Factor. The D-Factor, which means how to do things differently, because I just made the same mistake all the time. And it was really frustrating. I mean, I was doing everything I knew how to do. I remember one day I was trying to teach a little kid how to make an inside forearm block in Taekwondo. You know, if you look at your hand, the part of your forearm near your thumb, that's the inside. The part of your forearm near your little finger, that's the outside. Well, I was trying to teach him how to do an inside forearm block, where you're going to block the punch or the kick with the inside of your forearm, the part near your thumb. Now, unfortunately, you know, my terminology in teaching him to do that, if you're going to make it, you got to start it by putting your forearm on the outside of your opposite hand. So I'm saying make an inside forearm block, but you got to put it on the outside of your opposite hand to make the inside forearm block. He could not get that down. He kept putting it on the inside of the opposite hand, thereby creating an outside forearm block. And it seemed that as I watched the look of frustration grow in this child, it seemed that in his face he was saying, there is no other way to do it. It seemed like he was looking like the way I felt. The things that I was doing in life, I'm thinking, well, what else can I do? There's no other way to do it. It just never works. And I'm thinking, I can't ever do this, get this right. Well, I then chose a different tactic with this kid. I said to the kid, you know what? I'm going to give you permission to do it any way you want to. I don't care if it's wrong. Just don't do it that way anymore. The way that you've been, don't do it that way. Do it any other way. Because in his head, he was getting a block thinking there's no other way you can do it. And that was what was happening to me. I was making the same mistake. I think this is the only way I can do this. the decisions, the people I hung around, the stuff that I was doing. It was all the same thought process over and over again. In fact, it's one of the definitions of insanity, Natasha. When you continue to do the same behavior, but somehow expect a different outcome. Now, we all do that to a degree, but when it becomes so predominant that it dominates all areas of your life, now we really need to change how we think. So if you're understanding what I'm talking about, if you're understanding what I'm saying, this section is going to be the one for you. It's 25 minutes past the hour right now, and you're listening to The Power Hour if you just tuned in, and my name is Mac Newton. We meet here every Thursday at 5. In my first book, A Path to Power, A Master's Guide to Conquering Crisis, I'd run across a little, I don't know what you really call it. It's sort of an autobiography in 5 short chapters. And I don't remember who sent it to me, or I got it in the mail, or I read it in a magazine. I don't remember. I was so impressed because it told the story of my life, what I was doing, that I just stuck it in my book. In fact, I just had to put it in there somewhere. It didn't matter where I put it. So here it is. An autobiography in 5 short chapters. Chapter 1. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk, and I fall in. I'm lost. It's dark, and it feels hopeless. It's not my fault. It seems to take forever to find a way out. Chapter 2. I'm walking down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm back in the same place again. It's very dark. It's not my fault. And it still takes an awfully long time to get out. Chapter 3. I'm walking down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it's there. I still fall in. It's a habit. This time, my eyes are open. I know where I am, and I realize it is my fault. I get out more quickly. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5. I walk down another street. Wow. To get to the point where I can walk around that hole, or to get to the point where I'm walking down another street, is a monumental change, a complete paradigm shift. Because the tendency is just like in the first 3 chapters, to walk down the same street, see the big hole in the sidewalk, and still fall in. I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that. And on the second half of our show, we're going to start with 15 steps to move from the old you to the new you. The new you being one that doesn't do the same things that put you in this rut in the first place. We're going to discuss ways in where you can change how you live your life. I want to number them 1 through 15. Two minutes for the break? Okay, then fine. We've got a time now to start with rule number 1. Here's rule number 1. You want to get your notepads out. It's always a good idea to write these down, even though you know you can get it from the website. But write it down. It's a good idea. Number 1, I want you to change your personal rules of behavior. Change your personal rules of thinking. Now, going from the old you to the new you is not a commonplace idea. You shouldn't be surprised to know that unconventional success calls for unconventional approaches. You cannot get an unconventional success from a conventional approach. You've got to do something unconventional to get something unconventional. You've got to start to think differently. To move from the old you to the new you requires paradoxical behavior, unusual moves, actions that on the surface often seem to contradict common sense. Well, we got the music of Turning Point in the background, which means we are at the bottom of the hour, gang, but we will be right back to pick up right where we're leaving off on. My name is Mac Newton. Eric is on the other side of the glass, and we're sitting in the studio with the fabulous Natasha. You guys stay right where you are. Hi, gang, I'm Mac Newton. Earlier in the show, I mentioned to you guys to do me a personal favor. And that favor is to tell a friend to tune in to MacNewton.com, www.MacNewton.com, because that's the place where all the successful people go. They go there to get the information that they need to become successful. I know you want to be successful. You tell me in the emails you want to. You tell me what you want to think about. You tell me about the lives that you want to live. In order to do that, we have to change our thinking. We've got to reverse our feel. We've got to shift gears. We've got to be willing to take a few chances. But calculated risks, ones that are based in solid thinking, thinking based on goal setting. Goal setting and looking and visualizing a future that was meant to be yours. How many of you want to go on just as you are for the next 5 years from right now? Not many, I think. Well, you're right. You were given the talents you have for a reason. Go to www.MacNewton.com and find out what all the others are finding out. That there are answers and encouragement and inspiration for you to go on and become the person that you knew you could be to fulfill that talent that you had inside. The winners all go to www.MacNewton.com. I'll see you there. Hey gang, welcome back. I told you we had a great show on tap for you guys today. I told you so. You know, what I'm talking about here, going from the old you to the new you and doing it faster, what I'm talking about is making a quantum leap. That's right, Ray. I'm talking about making a quantum leap. You know, what is a quantum leap? A quantum leap is something that a particle of matter undergoes in moving from one point to another. Scientists have learned several things in observing these particles, these molecules move. And one of the most curious factors is that they're able to move very easily without any effort at all as they change and move around. And sometimes they even skip several steps in the process. They don't bother in going sequentially. They just move to the next appropriate point. They change. And that's what we're going to be talking about. How to get from the old you to the new you fast. Now, I want you guys to stay with me point by point, rule by rule, and see if you can buy into it one step at a time, and then watch the change it's going to have on your career. Watch the change it's going to have in your relationships. Watch the change it's going to have in your health. You're going to be able to change things in a very short time that you've spent a lifetime trying to address without any success. But right here on the Power Hour, you're going to be able to change your life completely and turn it around and become the success you knew you could be. And this is the start. What better time than right now? The beginning of 2009. I love that number, 9, 2009. See, in the Orient, the number 3 is like an esteemed number, because if you multiply 3 times itself, 3, you get 9. And 9 is the largest single digit number, which is very esteemed in the Orient. So this could be a big year. Wow, do we really need this? 2009, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about you, even though that 2008 was challenging. It was a great year. A lot of great things happened in 2008. I'm looking forward to 2009 with a vengeance. And it has gotten off, even though it's not even here yet, it's already off to a great start. Okay, let's pick up where we started, left off from. Leveraging up your personal effectiveness by an order of magnitude. What I mean is going from the old you to the new you. It's not commonplace. Don't be surprised. Unconventional success calls for unconventional moves. Moving from the old you to the new you, making a quantum leap requires paradoxical behavior, unusual moves, actions that on the surface seem to contradict common sense. And here's a point, Eric, because when you're doing those things over and over, you're doing it because it makes sense. You're doing things that have always made sense to you. It makes sense, even though it doesn't work. That's why you keep investing more energy into it. It doesn't work, though, but it makes sense. So when all of a sudden the rules are changing and you're looking at a move that would bring about a quantum leap, it doesn't make sense to you. It seems to violate the probabilities of common sense. It contradicts it completely. So we're going to have to reframe even how we see new opportunities. We can't even respond to them in the same way. Now, as human beings, we ordinarily go with the obvious. I mean, we fall into the habit of relying on behaviors that seem to have worked best for us over the years. I mean, when we take an approach that seems to be very useful and which enables us to perform well and succeed, we become very attached to it. And we just do it more and more and more. It seems that this method has worked for us in the past, so we just continue doing it and we get better and better at it. And we don't easily give up that habit pattern. We don't just, in fact, there's a tendency to follow this favorite approach more and more often. I mean, and so we get better and better at doing something that's bringing us, over time, less and less. This is not to say that at one point in time, the way you're thinking now or the things you're doing now didn't work. It's just that now is now, and things have changed, and sometimes you don't need any more information than that. It's a different time, and you need to change. Change is relentless. It's inevitable. And if you don't change, then you'll become the victim of it. And the way to control the direction of change is, as how we've talked about in the Power Hour many times in the future, I mean in the past and again in the future, is by setting goals. So we're going to understand that the more you seem to get better and better at something that's serving you less and less, until finally you're going to be a complete expert at something that brings nothing to your life. So this skill with these approaches results in an overdependence on them, and especially the tactics that it involves. And by doing that, you resist new information, you resist new maneuvers, new behaviors, because they make you feel awkward, they make you feel clumsy, and they make you feel at risk. And this is good. When you feel clumsy, when you feel awkward and at risk, you know you're moving outside of your comfort zone, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing for us right now, and that's what I mean by changing your personal rules of success. We don't want to be too comfortable right now. We want to become comfortable being a little bit uncomfortable. Because as I just said, when you're just relying over and over again on your more trusted behaviors, and especially when things start to flatten out, especially when things get testy, when things start to get a little bit touch and go, when things get hard, you fall back on the basics again. You go back and rely on these old behaviors even more at a time when you need to go an entirely different direction. And so what you're doing is resisting a new maneuver, a new answer, which could be right next to you. But you resist it. Or even if you do try it, you don't hold on very long, because as soon as you try it, you don't feel good. You feel awkward. You feel at risk. You feel clumsy. But if you want to accelerate your rate of achievement, and especially if you want to do it fast, which I do, you got to vigorously employ new behaviors. You have to first search them out. You got to look for them by setting goals. You got to set goals, search out new behaviors, and vigorously employ them. You need new attitudes. You got to be willing to break out of your old routines. Change your personal rules of success. You got to be willing to break out of these routines in order to make the move from the old you to the new you. In other words, quantum leap. The things that worked for you in the past, as I said, very likely will, sooner or later, lose their effectiveness. I mean, even if the things that you're currently doing holds a little bit of promise for maintaining your present level of performance or and growth curve, it may not help you very much if what you really want to do is hit higher orbits of achievement. You don't just want to maintain the status quo. You want to break out and soar. You want to really be a star. Well, if doing that, you're going to have to do something different. If you continue to rely on these old routines, and as I said earlier, maybe even leaning on them even harder when your performance flattens out and things get really tough, you create a trap for yourself. Yep. And you spring it. Well, here's the irony on that, setting a trap. Your historically most dependable behavior strategies can become major obstacles for you, can become major obstacles to future success. In fact, it's possible for them to even cripple you, cripple all of your progress. These old behaviors will stand as boundary lines, like the fence in a corral that limit how far you can travel, how far you can go. It stands as a boundary line as to how much you can accomplish in your life. Now, there is, of course, a course of action you can take. You can take the action of the quantum leap. You can make a decision right now to go move from the old you to the new you. Let me ask the question again. How many of you listening to me right now really want to go on continually this year, next year, the way you are right now? Probably very few. I asked that question in my class this morning. I said, let me see the hands of those who want to stay exactly as you are for the next 2 years. Not one hand went up. Not one. And I know Natasha doesn't want to stay the same, because she was telling me yesterday she wants to get into a jazz singing class. Didn't you just tell me that yesterday?
Yes.
So she wants to grow. She wants to take charge. She wants to move ahead. Eric was just telling me just a couple weeks ago that he's preparing himself to be looking up, moving into management in another position. He was telling me all these things. No one wants to stay the same. Everyone wants to change and grow. But in order to do that, in order to assume these new mantles, this new performance, you've got to change. You got to get new skills. You got new things. You got to change your personal rules for success. That's the irony. As I said, there is another course of action. It is the way of the quantum leap. Now, I'm going to give you one more. It is now 17 minutes before the hour. It's before the hour of 6 here in Phoenix, Arizona. I don't know where you may be in Ecuador. You know, on the equator. Did you know that on the other side of the equator, I think the toilets go the opposite direction.
I think on the other hemisphere.
I think it's in southern. Yeah. But I think right on the equator, they go straight down. They don't swirl around.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They go straight down. I think so. If I'm wrong, someone tell me. I say all kind of crazy things. Who knows? Half of it's wrong.
on the moon, they go straight up.
Oh, straight up on the moon? You been there?
Yep. Okay. Many times.
Oh my gosh. Hey gang, my name is Mac Newton. If you just tuned in, and this is the Power Hour, and I tell you what, we're far thinkers here. We think outside the box. We're outside of the building, gang. We're off the block. We think in ways that everyone wants to think. They're just afraid to, because sometimes success is a scary thing. It really is. People say, oh, you're afraid to fail. It's not afraid of fear of failure that really frightens most people. It's fear of success. People are afraid to really be what they really could be. You know why? Because they think, can I sustain that kind of head? Do I deserve that kind of recognition? Do I deserve to be thought of as the best in my field? Can I really keep it up? Or will I be a fraud? See, so I think it's success that people are more afraid of, even than failure, because it doesn't take very much to fail. And you're down there with so many other failures that you got a lot of company, okay? So you're just kind of hanging out with a bunch of friends. But when you're going to succeed, you're going to move off away from the pack. You're going to leave them behind. You got to have a lot of confidence. You got to have a lot of confidence in yourself to be successful. So I think it's more fear of success than it is fear of failure. So I'm going to start one more, and I'll review this one. I put a little notepad here that I was going to do this one in week 2. But number 2, Let me just start there. Number two. Okay, number one, our first rule was I want you to change your personal rules. We discussed that. Number two, I want you to just quit trying harder, okay? That's really something from a guy who started off his program talking about with a monologue about falling in love with the work. Okay, but let's think about those two things. Falling in love with the work, understanding how important the work is. But you got to understand, but you just can't really just try harder. You just can't work your way to it. You got to understand, you got to fall in love with the work, but you also got to work smart. Let me not steal my own thunder. Let me go back to my prepared notes. Number two, rule number two, quit trying harder. The move from you, the old you, to the new you simply cannot be achieved through step by step or more of the same. Okay? You just can't. You got to shift gears. We're going to have to do things differently. You have to follow new patterns of thought, new patterns of action. The rules of what works and what doesn't work are changing now, and they must change for you right now. And these rules are always changing, and especially when you're trying to make a move from the old you to what? The new you. The old you to the new you, and we call that a quantum leap. Okay? Now, I want you to stop and think about it. Here's the way it goes. More of the same usually gives you what? More of the same. All right? And of course, if that's mainly what you're after, fine. I guess I'm not talking to you. You guys can tune over and listen to another station. But if you're interested in that, then stay tuned. Try a little harder, get a little bigger payoff. Try a lot harder, and you can expect a lot bigger payoff, right? Well, maybe, maybe not. But it's certainly not a sure thing. Sooner or later, you're going to reach the point where you just can't work any harder, okay? You can reach a point where you just can't work any harder. There's a limit to that, Eric. You just can't work any harder. It may be that, you know, emotionally that you just get burnt out. Your spirit flags or it lags. Or your physical and your mental resources are just stretched to the limit. And often, and well before you get to that set of circumstances, you reach a point of diminishing returns. More and more is bringing you less and less. It's like over-revving a car in first gear. What happens? You can give it more and more gas and your car will just start slowing down. You've over-revved it. You're not going to get more out of it. Diminishing returns, trying harder and harder and harder, starts producing less and less. Sometimes, in fact, intensifying your efforts just produces nothing except bigger problems. And I know you're understanding what I'm talking about. I know you are. I can feel you. I can feel you out there right now understanding what I'm saying, because I'm talking from my heart, and this is what I have learned. This is what I have felt. This is what I have lived. Thinking that, you know, coming from the world of martial arts and being known as a hard worker, I figure I can work my way through anything. Well, I can't. I've got to think my way through it. I've got to have a combination of thinking and work, and I've got to work smart. And I run across problems, and I just, like, I get stuck, and I just find myself doing the same thing, end up in the same hole once again. And the same hole once again, and pretty soon it's because it's a habit. I habitually fall into holes. I don't have anything to do but fall in holes. And you find people that live their whole life just that way. And at the end of it, looking back saying, well, this whole life thing wasn't a big deal. What did I get out of it? You know? That's what you see people saying. Look out there. You see it everywhere. Okay, as a case in point, let's go back to the fly. Remember the fly, Eric, we talked about? Let's go back to the story about the fly, Natasha. You know, that little insect, you know, could have turned away from the window 180 degrees and followed the path of least resistance right out the door. A quantum leap to freedom. Remember the story we talked about the fly?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, well, could have turned around instead of just continuing to bang, 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 bang in the window. Well, we agreed it's going to die there. 10 seconds, effortless flight out the door. For that flight, that insect, a quantum leap to freedom. I mean, it could have spent hours of frustration, panic, beating its wings against the glass. Didn't matter. It's going to be dead on that windowsill. Trying harder and harder and harder. Now, this is not an argument on my part, especially against self-discipline or hard work or persistence. No, no, no. These are the true virtues of life. And over a lifetime, they can make a powerful statement to your life. They can make a powerful contribution to success and achievement. I think they are fundamental to the development of your talents, to becoming known as a hard worker. It's extremely important to apply yourself diligently. And sometimes, you know, staying power, just the willingness to never give up, is what delivers the big win. But ordinarily, I've found that just banking on trying harder produces only incremental gains, especially as you get older. I mean, what are you going to continue to do? I'm not 18 anymore. I need a quantum leap right now. So I want a quantum leap. So you got to keep in mind that sometimes trying harder, even a lot harder, offers little more than a straight path to burnout. Attempting to succeed through more of the same, I mean being resolute and relying on committed effort, can blind you to better ways of doing things. If you want to make a quantum leap, if you want to get from the old you to the new you, quit thinking about just trying harder. More effort isn't the answer. And you know what? A lot of you are thinking right now, thank God he's saying that, because, you know, I've been thinking that. I've been thinking that I've been working my butt off and I'm still not getting where I want to go, and there's got to be another answer. I know you're thinking it right now, because I am. Thank God he just said it. There it said, it's out there, the whole world can say it. You can't get by just on hard work alone. You've got to do it a different way. All right? So, we got two done so far. Number one was, remember, you got it down there, Natasha?
Yes. Well, change your personal rules.
Of success. Change your personal rules of?
Of thinking.
Of thinking. Change your personal rules. And number two was?
Quit trying harder.
Yeah, quit trying harder. That's number two. What time we got there? Oh, yeah, okay, we got about, it looks about 8 minutes before the hour. 8 minutes before the hour of six here in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. Look at the skies are lightening up. You know, that's another thing about here, Eric. It doesn't really ever rain like just all the time, you know, like it does in Chicago.
Like out east, yeah.
Yeah. It'll settle in, man, and just rain for days. And speaking of back east, they're getting some serious snow back there, aren't they?
Yeah. It's pretty crazy back there.
I mean, Duluth, Minnesota got 3 feet of snow the other day.
Yeah.
It was snowing 3 inches an hour.
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
And we got a little rain.
Oh, a little rain. A few drizzle. Yeah. In fact, I don't even, is it still raining out there? I'm sorry. I know I'm just teasing all you folks back east. Because I know you guys are listening out there. I mean, I'm here in Phoenix, and you guys are in New York and Philadelphia, you know, and you got the Eagles, and you're not going to make the playoff. Oh, did I say that? What did I do?
Ouch.
That was hard. Okay. All right. I didn't say that. I don't want to say Dallas is going to make the playoffs, and the Eagles won't. I didn't. I just lost some listeners. Okay.
Hey, but they got the World Series.
That's very, very true. They listen, what do we got?
We got right.
We
just clinched the division for the first time.
We did. We're going to bounce out after that one game.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay, we got time for one more here if we can kind of whip through it. Number three. Remember I said, in order to get an unconventional result, you got to take an unconventional approach. You cannot get an unconventional result from conventional approaches. So number three is this. Number three is to ignore conventional approaches. Completely ignore them. Number three, ignore them. I want you to understand this first line. Listen to this. Listen to me carefully, folks. Get ruthless. Ruthless about doing it differently. Get ruthless about trying something different. Do anything you want to do, just don't do that thing that you've been doing again. Just like I told that little kid, do it any way you want. I gave him the freedom. I says, you won't get yelled at. You won't have to do knuckle push-ups. I don't care how you do it wrong, as long as you don't do it that way again. Every other way except that way is right. And that's what I want you to start thinking. And see, because the answers, what you're thinking, because your thinking have been polluted by doing the same thing that's not working anymore so long. So you can't even see and recognize the one that will work. Your thinking has been polluted. We've got to change our thinking. We've got to start thinking paradoxically. I mean, ordinarily, we achieve conventional growth. Why? because we think along conventional lines. We get conventional results through conventional thinking. We experience reasonable performance gains because we rely on reasonable approaches. We find ways to make modest improvements in our level of success because we go looking for nothing more. We want to get a little bit better. A little bit better, a little bit more. That's all we look for. To move from the old you to the new you is what I'm talking about here, folks. I'm talking about quantum leaps, and they require you to abandon the status quo instead of once again trying what you've always done, but maybe with even more intensity and more determination. Don't do that. Just ignore the usual approaches. Moving from the old you to the new you requires an abrupt change in behavior. I'm talking about the paradoxical move. For example, consider reversing your fields. Be like the fly. Don't continue going through the glass. Turn around, fly 180 degrees in the opposite direction. Suppose you imagine yourself. Suppose I did the exact opposite of what I'm doing right now. What do you think? Maybe that might work. Just try the exact opposite thing. Try being illogical. Ricochet off. Take a different angle. Reverse your field. If you're trying to climb over the wall, don't do that. Open the door, walk through it. How many times have you been watching football, Eric, and you see a guy, and all of a sudden he's running the football, and he goes, oh, you see him stop, and he reverses the field. You go, man, don't do that. Don't do that. You're going to lose a lot of ground. Next thing you know, he's down the sideline in the end zone. Yep. That happens all the time. But you would have never thought about reversing your field. You just, I'll just take a little bit of a gain, take a yard, and then go down. Come on, reverse your field. Guy's looking for a touchdown. That's how you do it. Try doing the exact opposite of what you're doing now. Give it a thought. Let's see what happens. I mean, can't be any worse than what we're getting right now. We're not getting very much, even with being successful. We're getting nothing. You must do something new. The tendency when you stall out or begin to level off in your performance is to go back to the basics. I said it earlier, and do what you do best. But doing what you do best is the worst thing you could do. That's springing the trap on yourself. That's the trap that I told you you said earlier, and now you're just reinvesting, and now you spring it. I call it faith in the familiar. Sets the trap, and you spring it when you reinvest in what logically seems like it should work because it has usually worked in the past. To make a quantum leap, you got to break out of the rut where you've been running. Second guess those routines. Overcome your addiction to the old ways of thinking and behavior. Set a new pattern. If the things you're doing have quit working, what's my answer or my solution? Quit doing them. Start focusing on what's working. If you just quit doing what you've been doing instead of just doggedly doing it harder, at least you'll create an opportunity to do something else. Look, when you do the quantum leap, you're going to seek the elegant solution. So look for one that's characterized by simplicity, precision, neatness, and efficiency. Okay, we got three done today, but we're going to review them again next week, especially number three, and go through that a little bit more in depth. All right. Wow, I got to go out back here and hose myself down. I'm getting a little excited up in here. I told you we had a great show on tap for you guys today. And listen, guys, I want you to do that personal favor. I want you to go out and find two or three people that you can tell about this show. People that you think would benefit listening to the Power Hour. All right, our opening musical guest host was the fabulous Vanessa Williams, accompanied by Bobby Caldwell. And taking us home today from 1979, the incomparable, tall, talented Tan Temptations. From 1979. I mean, a group that when they were first came out, I mean, their vocal skills were unmatched. And it seemed like it was a magical pairing of five people that it was just unbelievably effective. Nothing like them before and nothing like them since. The Temptations. This CD is called Give Love at Christmas, and I truly recommend it if you're able to find it any place. The musicianship and the songs will become, like it has been for Natasha and I, just a favorite. The fabulous Natasha, always great to have you on the show, baby.
Thank you, everyone.
And Eric, always good to see you, my man. You make this whole thing happen.
It's my pleasure.
More important than you know. Hey, gang, and like I always say, be true to you, which means simply one thing. Let your words and your behaviors match. As great-grandma used to always say to me, boy, What you're doing is making so much noise I can't hear a word you're saying. I want to thank Bob Adlot, Pac McMahon, JC up in San Fran, the fabulous Natasha, and of course Eric, as I said before, because these are the people who've encouraged me, inspired me, and made me feel I could get this thing done. And I am not done by any stretch of the imagination. As I always say at the end of every show, gang, they call me the Mac Daddy. 3, 2, 1, peace, me and the Temptations are out. And we're caroling.